I'm Matthew Smith, Vermont Edition producer, and I wanted to let you know that the podcast you're about to listen to has been edited for clarity and brevity.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Mitch Wertleben for Bob Kinzel. The hope is to create programs so successful other communities in Vermont will want to develop their own based on that success. And the stakes are high because we're talking about coming up with strategies to address the problem of food insecurity and hunger in Vermont. To that end, Bennington College is taking a front and center role, announcing a $1 million grant award from the Andrew Mellon Foundation to tackle hunger in the southwestern portion of the state. The money is being doled out over a three-year period, and the college will work in conjunction with local organizations, including the Southwestern Vermont Healthcare and Medical Center, the Southwest Vermont Supervisory Union, and Greater Bennington Interfaith Community Services, to reduce the number of people suffering from food insecurity in the region. We're going to explore what that funding can potentially do and get some perspective on just how serious the problem is for people in Bennington County and elsewhere in Vermont. And joining us to talk about this critical issue is Honora Horton, Executive Director of Hunger Free Vermont. She's in our VPR studios in Colchester. Honora, thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Mitch. Thank you for having me.
And Sue Andrews is with us. She's the Director of Greater Bennington Interfaith Community Services, or GBICS, one of the partners in the Bennington College Grant Program. She's on the line with us. And Sue Andrews, thank you so much for being here.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
And Honora Horton, I would like to start with you as Executive Director of Hunger Free Vermont. You are working to try to get adequate nutrition to as many people as possible in the whole state. But I'm wondering here specifically about the problem in Bennington County. What does food insecurity look like today in the southwestern portion of Vermont?
Yeah, that's a great question, Mitch. And, you know, data is a tricky thing to try to actually parse that out, especially in the county level and town level in Vermont. But according to kind of our calculations, as many as one in four households in the town of Bennington could be really struggling with food insecurity and hunger. And as many as three in four kids in Bennington County who are currently attending public schools could be facing some degree of food insecurity in their households, according to the data about how many of those students are eligible for free and reduced priced meals at the schools in the county overall.
I do understand what you're saying about the difficulty of parsing these numbers. There are so many difficulties in getting, you know, a lot of people may not want to talk about it. They may not be, there may not be accurate reporting because of the stigma of all this. But let's talk about what we can define. First, talk about this term food insecurity. Is there a difference between that and what we often hear, hunger?
Yeah, that is such an important question because food insecurity is this kind of cold and technical term that was created.
That way,
yeah, that was created by the federal government. And I don't love it, but it's really hard to find a way to accurately talk about the problem, because the problem of hunger and malnutrition is a very broad, it spans a very broad spectrum, right? So I think we're all, when we say the word hunger, I think we have a sense of what that means.
Right.
People are actually having times when they are missing meals, right? Or they are restricting the calories that they are eating and they are having a feeling of hunger, right, on a regular basis.
Yep.
But hunger and malnutrition, the problem of that is so much broader than that. So there are certainly people and families and kids in Vermont who are in that situation, who are experiencing hunger on a regular basis. But there's many more households and kids in Vermont who are experiencing a constant struggle to make sure that they have adequate sources of food and nutrition. They are unable to afford the healthy foods. Fruits and vegetables are the most expensive thing on anybody's plate. And so families are foregoing, or seniors are foregoing, the healthy fruits, vegetables, proteins for the less expensive, calorie-dense, nutrient-poor foods.
And that can lead to real health problems when you're eating that way.
Absolutely can. So we know that Hunger and malnutrition are linked to the dramatic increase in chronic diseases that we're seeing. And honestly, I believe that that kind of struggle with food insecurity, that constant worry, that strategizing, that needing to rely every month on a food shelf or food pantry that in most towns in Vermont is open for a few hours one day a week, and figuring out how you're going to get there, that constant worry and fear and concern about your kids, that doesn't just cause physical health issues, it causes mental health issues. You know, we're paying a lot of attention to adverse childhood experiences now. Well, living in a household where that kind of worry and stress and those kinds of limitations on what's available to eat and when it's available, that absolutely is contributing to this rise in adverse childhood experiences we're seeing.
Yeah, there's real ripple effects here. And I think you're explaining that very well because, again, we hear that term and you're right. It's kind of sterile food insecurity. You know, what does that really mean? Well, it means it can lead to all these other issues and problems. Sue Andrews, let me turn to you. As director of Greater Bennington Interfaith Community Services, you are partnering with Bennington College to come up with some solutions here. First, can you tell us a little bit about your own organization and what services you provide to the community?
Sure. So GBIX, as we call it, is a small nonprofit, and our goal is to work with people who live in and near the poverty level, basically to help them have a better way in life. And specifically, what we do is we place health, the health of our neighbors, at the center of all we do. It's our philosophy that health is impacted not just by medical care, but also by the environment in which we live and the behaviors we develop through our lives. So we work on advancing the health of our neighbors by helping them meet certain basic human needs, including access to food and food education, shelter, and health care. We run a free medical clinic as one of our projects, but we recognize that many of the people who come into the medical clinic who have specific chronic health conditions, as was noted earlier, also have really poor diets, are typically overweight or obese. And so there's a really, you know, there's a causal relationship there.
And let's talk a little bit about Bennington County, because my guest here in Colchester, Anora Horton, her organization, Hunger Free Vermont, says 14% of people in Bennington County live at below or at the poverty line. I mean, that's fairly remarkable, isn't it? Does that sort of track with what you see on a day-to-day basis?
Well, actually, I think we see a bigger problem. But yes, that is on track with state statistics. Bennington County is the second most impoverished area in the state. We actually, at our food program, are serving one in every four households in Bennington. And that's, you know, that's a 25% participation rate. We focus mainly on people living at the poverty level or below, but there's increasingly just a real disconnect between what used to be the middle class, but, you know, now is less well paid and has more issues with access to the things that determine how healthy we are. Many, many people are living on the edge.
Sue, I don't want to, you know, I mentioned it in passing to Anora, but I don't want to sort of, you know, glide over this. But do you see a problem with people who, you know, may not want to come to you for help because they don't like the stigma attached to, you know, not having enough food to eat or not getting the right kind of nutrition?
Well, you know, it's always hard to know what you don't see.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that we're seeing one in four families, I think, is we're being successful at a certain level. Our organization has a commitment to something we call radical hospitality, where we bend over backwards to make people feel welcome. We're all about respecting people's dignity and their worth and getting them involved in the very problems that they're here seeking solutions for.
Radical hospitality. Yeah. I like that. I like that phrase very much.
Could I jump in on
Please
this?
Please do, Anora. Yeah, go ahead.
So first of all, I think what Sue is describing, that approach that is rooted in community, that radical hospitality that is saying, We are all members of this community, and we have to figure out how to take care of each other and ourselves together.
Exactly.
I think that's absolutely critical if we're going to end hunger in any kind of sustainable, dignified way. Mm-hmm. But I also think that you can see the consequences of the stigmatization that has been leveled on the federal nutrition programs, the programs that are available to everyone, and that are an absolutely critical component also of how we're going to end hunger. So, for example, in Bennington, in the town of Bennington, there could be as many as 30% of the eligible households may not be taking advantage of the different federal nutrition programs that are available, especially Three Squares Vermont. Mm-hmm. And we're talking $8 million a year that mm-hmm. goes into Bennington County from Three Squares Vermont alone.
And 30% of the population not taking advantage of those.
So based on that, and again, I just want to say again, I'm pulling data from a lot of different places because we don't have one good way to measure all of this stuff. But the town of Bennington could be leaving up to $2 million a year in federal funds from Three Squares Vermont alone in Washington because that 30% is not taking advantage of those programs. So that is a piece, I think, of any solution. And we struggle with it and organizations like SUSE, I know, struggle with it all over Vermont and all over the country. How can we help people own and claim these universally available programs that they are, in fact, contributing to with their tax dollars, just like we all are, and that any of us might need? And yet there's so much reluctance often attached, not to mention the challenges of using them that people can experience and things like that. So I think that there's got to be – like both of those things have to be in place. The local organizations that are really engaging neighbors with neighbors and making sure that these large safety net programs are actually being used and to the maximum possible ability.
Ken is on the line from Newfane. Hi, Ken.
Hi, Mitch. Thanks for this show. This is really an excellent subject to be discussing. And it's been on my mind a lot because I'm on the Planning Commission here in Newfane. And one of the components of the town plan, and this is true across the state, is economic development. And, for me, economic development is, founded precisely on food security and housing security. Hmm. And so it seems to me that, from a scaling up perspective, even though town plans are typically oriented around land use, it seems to me that if we're going to really get at the food security issue, the town plan and the way of implementing that town plan might just be the vehicle by which, we can think about scaling up solutions to this issue, much as the earlier discussion was alluding to. So I was just curious what, what kind of discussion we might have around that.
Ken, thank you very much for that call. I appreciate that. Anor, do you want to tackle that question first?
Yeah. Ken, I'm so glad that you called in to raise this issue. And in fact, the Farm to Plate Network in Vermont and we at Hunger Free Vermont have been part of this working group. We're actually developing a kit that town planners can use because you are absolutely right. Town plans need to go to work with their local organizations to write food security into the plans. And so that's going to be rolling out in the next months. And, it certainly will take several years, I think, for us to reach everywhere in the state. But that is something that has really been needed in Vermont. And I'm really excited to say that some support for town planners in helping them think about different ways that this could get incorporated into their town plans is actually coming.
And get it specifically into writing, as you say, make it part of the plan so you can actually read it and follow it.
Yeah.
Sue Andrews, I want to ask about, you know, what you're hearing from people in your community directly when people come to GBIX, I think you called it. I love
yeah.
that. What are they saying just anecdotally about this problem? Or is it even the kind of thing that people talk about on just a casual basis?
So we do a lot of work around a lot of issues. We have lots of people in and out of our building every single day. And in this kind of way of approaching the people who come through, this radical hospitality, we do get to hear a lot of stories from people who are coming through. And I think that at a certain level, you know, people are pretty battered about all this. And really what we're talking about is just the issue of poverty. It's, you know, it's the economic situation. At the top of the hour, I was listening to the news as we were waiting for the show to start, and they announced that the unemployment rate in Vermont is 2.1%, the lowest since sometime in the 1970s. Well, the reality on the street in the people who come into our building is people are working, but they're not getting 40 hours a week. They're not getting guaranteed hours. They're not working jobs that provide any kind of benefits. And increasingly, people are just very frightened about losing their jobs. So we had a lady in last night at our clinic who had a family crisis with somebody trying to commit suicide, and she was afraid to take time off from work to be with her family member because she was, you know, she felt like she was at risk of losing a job that she's held for almost 20 years.
You know, that's a really important point to point out. I was actually going to mention that, Sue, about those numbers and say, you know, okay, if the unemployment rate is so low, why is there so much problems with
exactly.
poverty, et cetera? But you really kind of nailed it there. And, you know, I think it's also the fact that some people are not just working one job. They're employed, but they're working two or three jobs.
Working two or three,
just,
right.
Yeah, just to yeah. get by. And as you yeah. say, there's no medical benefits often, and these are major problems. That is the voice of Sue Andrews, Director of Greater Bennington Interfaith Community Services. We're also with Honora Horton today. She's the executive director of Hunger Free Vermont. We're talking about hunger in Vermont and specifically in Bennington County. Honora Horton, you and I were just talking a little behind the scenes a bit here as we were in the break and talking about this issue of who can and who should be doing what. I mean, it is wonderful that your organization, Hunger Free Vermont, is out there working with local people, you know, community volunteers to address this issue. It's wonderful the work that Sue Andrews is doing with GBIX. But how much of this is the responsibility as well of state officials, of federal officials? Who's eligible for that federal money you were talking about with Three Squares Vermont? And what are some of the problems associated with that?
Yeah, that's a great question. So fundamentally, we at Hunger Free Vermont believe that that hunger is a human right. I mean, food is a human right, and
right,
no
right.
one should be hungry. And it is actually the responsibility of all of us through our federal and state governments to end hunger. And it's totally possible to do. We've done it before when food stamps, as they were called then, values were more commensurate with the true costs of food and basic needs. We actually eliminated severe hunger in the United States for a brief window of time at the beginning of the 1970s. Since then, the value of the federal programs has declined dramatically. And that's because, in large part, the federal poverty line is completely inadequate and not representative. Sue Minter from Capstone Community Action just wrote a great piece about this in VT Digger yesterday that I really encourage everybody to check out. So it is a federal responsibility in my view. And yet we here in Vermont cannot sit around and wait for changes to be made at the federal level. Frankly, right now at this moment in time, that's not a very viable option for us. And right now at this time, as Sue is just describing, people in Vermont are going hungry and are facing malnutrition. And so there are things that we can do. right? In addition to really making sure that everyone has access to those federal programs is using them, I think that the more that we can think at a local and statewide level about how we can make more and more programs that we offer universal, so that instead of saying, okay, you neighbors of ours who are poor, we're going to help you, but instead we're all collectively going to recognize that we could feed all of our kids in school every day and pay for it in a collective way that none of us pays for it individually and make school meals universal. We could include meals in our efforts to expand childcare and really make it universally accessible and affordable in Vermont. We should also be thinking about ways to bring our farmers and our local food system into this conversation. You know, we have a lot of resources and a lot of really smart and a lot of really committed people, and it's Hunger Free Vermont's privilege to operate at a statewide level, but it's organizations like SUSE in those local communities, and it's opportunities like this $1 million grant where a collaborative impact model in Bennington can perhaps show us some new, exciting, innovative approaches that take advantage of every single one of these strategies combined.
We have Megan on the line with us from Brattleboro. Hi, Megan. You're on Vermont Edition.
Hi. I had a comment about the amount of services that are left on the table by community members who would qualify for them. And I think that one of the biggest challenges in accessing those programs is that A, some people don't know they're qualified for those programs. B, they don't know how to access them. And C, we have agencies that are involved in these programs that people are terrified of. You know, DCF, if you go to one of these agencies to seek out financial security or aid in getting food, it feels as if then your family is either targeted or, you know, red flagged, and people are really terrified of those agencies getting involved. And I know that from my family's own personal experience.
Why? What happened, Megan?
We had my niece who was taken 12 hours after she was born by DCF on a real suspicion from our family is because we had interaction with the agency before. So if you're one of those families that seeks out benefits, then you've put yourself on the radar to come under the microscope of some of these agencies. And I think that really in Windham County, we have a really, really high rate of children being taken out of their homes. And if you're already food insecure, work insecure, home insecure, then asking for help from somebody who might then make your life more difficult by trying to take your child from you,
obviously
is not necessarily
Heart rendering decision. Absolutely, Megan. I really appreciate that call. Thank you for sharing that story, Sue Andrews. You know, you may not have heard stories like Megan specifically, but have you heard about people coming to GBIX who said, you know, I'd like to access some of these programs, but I'm a little bit afraid of getting involved in state-run programs for whatever reason?
I don't think we hear that so much as it takes a lot of follow-through to be involved, particularly with Three Squares Vermont. There's paperwork, there's documentation. It's not an easy program. And for many people, I think they look at what they end up getting, and these are people at the sort of the upper end of the spectrum that is served by Three Squares. They say, you know, seniors, for example, many seniors will do all the paperwork and find out that they're qualified for $10 or $15 a month, and they just say, oh, that's just not worth doing it. Mm. On the other end of the spectrum, people who are very, very impoverished, people who live on Social Security disability and things like that, who have sort of $800 or $840 a month coming in, qualify for the maximum benefit, which is $192, I think, per month. You know, there's there's incentive for the follow through, because if you're living on that kind of income, $840 a month, another $200 a month in food benefit is worth your while. But I think it's a program, it's like many social service programs. It's paper intensive and requires people to stay up to date on checking in with a state agency or a local agency.
Yeah, and you want to see a payoff at the end of all that effort, of course.
Exactly.
Let me ask this question to both of you. And I know it's early because the grant has really just been announced, this $1 million grant. But, Nora, what would you like to see, done with that money? Have your brain been working away? But, oh, my gosh, we got $1 million. Let's do this.
Well, I think that is really up to the partners in Bennington to determine, because, again, we at Hunger Free Vermont, we operate 10 different regional hunger councils all around the state. And every single one of those hunger councils is completely unique. So it's a group of local community leaders and organizations. We have one in Bennington County, and we've certainly talked about this fantastic grant that Bennington College has received. But every single one of those communities has some unique circumstances, has unique character, has unique approaches. And I think that's a real strength, and it's really important to honor that. But I do think, and I do agree, what Sue said about the federal programs, like they don't work for everyone. There also are people who are not eligible for those programs. So those programs cut off at 185% of the federal poverty line, which for a family of four in Vermont is about $46,000 a year right now. So still not a lot, given our housing costs, our heating costs, our food costs, the reality of what it takes to live here. So there are a lot of families who are struggling with food insecurity at some level and actually can't access either Three Scores Vermont or the school meal program in its traditional form.
Sue Andrews, we have some other callers I want to get to, so I'm going to ask you to be brief here. But, GBIX is a partner here with Bennington College for this grant. Have you been percolating any thoughts about what you'd like to see happen with this money?
Well, absolutely. And I have to say that I was involved with, the actual writing of the grant. Those of us who are partnering with the college had opportunities for input. And this is a specific grant coming from the Mellon Foundation. The Mellon Foundation is very involved with grant making to institutions of higher education. So the vast majority of these grant funds are going to be used by the college to develop core curriculum, core courses around the issues of food, food insecurity, food systems, that kind of thing. The relationship of the college with those of us who are the community partners will be an opportunity for students to take the theoretical, the sort of looking at the food systems issues through the baccalaureate or through the liberal arts lens, and they will be able to come into the community, boots on the ground, be able to be in the community, see programs at work, have an opportunity to see in practice what they're discussing in theory. So this is very much a grant for an institution of higher learning, but it will have, the opportunity to be an initiative that addresses the systemic causes of the problem of food insecurity here in our town and our region.
Let's go to Robert. He's on the line from Vernon. Hi, Robert. You're on Vermont Edition.
Oh, hey, yeah, I got a lot. I'm going to talk really fast, right? So one of the things I don't remember, she said that fruits and veggies are expensive, okay? Economics is part of it, but knowledge and education can go very far. Some of these people I see working 2 to 3 jobs, they're drinking coffee, soda, junk food. What are the macronutrients? Fat, carbs, protein, and micronutrients. Think about it like this. You can eat bananas, carrots, potatoes, onions. You can pop open a can of chickpeas and corn. You can buy whole grain rice. The bargain brand. These foods are not expensive. They're very nutritious. But, hey, most of us want to have a donut, soda, and coffee. drink water instead. It's not always fun. So what I'm saying is
education can
go very, very far. You don't have to spend a lot of money to eat healthy. But most people, They're working two or three jobs. They don't have the time to learn this. So in your outreach in the different food pantries, let's get some education going here also. So I could go on and on. But teach a person how to fish is just as important as giving the fish today. They need to learn how to fish tomorrow. What are the healthy foods? How do you eat healthy at a very low cost? 99 cents a pound. Every week, you can get fruit on sale at every supermarket. So,
okay. Good point, Robert. I'd like to have our guest respond to that. I think Robert's making a personal responsibility argument here. Nora Horton, what do you think about what he just said? Can you eat nutritionally well on a budget?
Well, you certainly can. And Robert's absolutely right that, I mean, we all need let me just say that I don't think that the need for cooking and nutrition education has anything to do with people's income in this country today. If you really look, we probably all, almost all of us, could really benefit from some nutrition and cooking education.
I know I could.
Me too, actually. So there's no question that's important. And there are resources available. But if you are really struggling and grappling with food insecurity, your ability to put the time and energy required into that is pretty limited. The other thing I'll say, and I would invite all of the listeners out there today to consider taking our Three Squares Vermont Challenge, where you live on the budget, Three Squares budget for your family for a week. And I invite you to experience for yourself what I myself have experienced, which is that people on lower incomes who are trying to make sure that they have enough food to eat week after week after week, they are the savviest shoppers. It takes so much more time to figure out how to do that than for the rest of us who are privileged enough to not have to count our pennies every time we go to the store. I've never had to plan so much, work so hard, take so much time shopping as I did when I took the Three Squares Vermont Challenge. So I think that collective responsibility trumps personal responsibility every time when it comes to coming up with truly sustainable solutions to the incredible problem of hunger and malnutrition.
Sue Andrews, we just have about a minute here, but what does success look like to you at the end of this three-year period when the grant money is up?
Well, I think, we're going to have the opportunity to put under a lens the whole issue of food systems. And I think one of the things that is kind of part of what Anora was just saying is, people in poverty, people with limited resources, live lives of chaos. It's really challenging to find the time to do everything that has to be done, and people live in the tyranny of the moment. If your tire is flat, you have to deal with that. If the babysitter's sick, you have to deal with that. I think we need to strengthen our food system in addition to, relying on the programs, both public and private, that exist. One of the things that concerns me, to go back to the topic that I think Robert brought up about, is the fact that people don't know a lot about cooking. We're eating terrible food in this country, by and large. We do a curriculum here at GBIX called Food Fit Bennington, in which we bring people together for a 10-week program. We meet for 3 hours a week, and we talk, live, and eat, and cook healthy foods, and we exercise together. And the two amazing things that come out of that is people's produce consumption goes up dramatically, and their exercise level goes up.
Which is great. I want to give 30 seconds here to Anora. I think you've got some information for our listeners to wrap it up here.
Yeah, thanks, Mitch. So since we're talking about hunger and opportunities to access food, I want everyone to know that summer meal sites for kids are up and running all across our state, including 17 in Bennington County. These are sites that are free. They are for everyone. A lot of them have activities, too. And you can find the site nearest you easily by calling 211, toll-free from anywhere. call 211 and have your kids have the opportunity for summer meals and fun this summer.
And get the education out there. Thank you so much. Sue Andrews is the director of Greater Bennington Interfaith Community Services. Thanks for joining us today, Sue.
You're welcome.
And Anor Horton is executive director of Hunger Free Vermont. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. My pleasure.